Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, July 16th, 2019. Today we are reading from the big book and we are in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 40. We're going to unpack today one single paragraph, and that's paragraph number 3. Starts with, in this frame of mind, and ends with, not a cloud on horizon, at the top of page 41. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Nan K., the 12 traditions, Laura R. I'm reading the text and support today, Elaine T., Eileen M., Sherry K. B., greeting today, Wendy B., and giving announcements, Leslie M. So stay to the top of the hour, y'all. The share ID numbers for yesterday, that would be for Monday, July 15th, 2018, that 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID is 13155, 13,155. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, this would be for Tuesday, July 16th, 2019, that share ID number is 13157, 13,157. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nan K. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hi, Nan.
Good morning. I'm Nan K. from Northern Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Nan K. I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Laura R. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, our loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura R. Appreciate that. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting for us and the recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and this would qualify by pressing star 1 only, not just the mute on your own phone. Today we resume the study of our Big Book in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 40, focusing and taking apart the directions in paragraph 3, which begins with "in this frame of mind" and ends at the top of 41 with "not a cloud on the horizon." And I will ask Elaine T. to open us up by reading that paragraph and then unpacking it with her experience, strength, and hope. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Mel. Thank you. This is Elaine T. and recovered just for today in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. In this frame of
mind. Elaine, why don't you press star 1 again real quick so I can begin over? Something went a little wonky.
Okay, now?
Yep, you're clear. Thanks. If you wouldn't mind just starting right over again. Thanks.
I'm sorry. Thank you. In this frame of mind, I went about my business for a time and all was well. I had no trouble refusing drinks and began to wonder if I had not been making too hard work of a simple matter. One day, I went to Washington to present some accounting evidence to a government bureau. I had been out of town before and during this particular dry spell, so there was nothing new about that. Physically, I felt fine. Neither did I have any pressing problems or worries. My business came off well. I was pleased and knew my partners would be too. It was the end of a perfect day, not a cloud on the horizon. Oh, great paragraph. But I want to go back one sentence. It says, I felt I had every right to be self-confident, that it would be only a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. And then it says, in this frame of mind. So this was the frame of mind. And he went out thinking that, you know, he could exercise his self-will and stay abstinent. And I don't know where I hear some of the things I write in my book, but I have this sentence that says, a disconnected astronaut is dead. And that struck me because I have to keep God and myself tethered together. I can't work this program or life on my own. It didn't work before. It still doesn't work. And one of the scariest things that I experienced was even after coming into these vision rooms, I got complacent and sort of in the place of, I got this. Not so much that I knew everything, but simply that, okay, now I knew that this was how I was supposed to work my program. I'd get up in the morning, I'd do steps 1, 2, and 3, and then I'd go through the day and I'd do my 10 steps. And, you know, that there was this pattern. And that disconnected me from God because I wasn't asking him, what does he want? And of course, as Harlan says, there was this lovely buildup of everyday human emotions. And it wasn't long before it seemed that eating was the right thing to do. So anyone can have this program and it will work for them. Certainly I'm not unique, but I have to work it. I have to get up every day for just the day and say, okay, God, I'm here. Please help me. What do you want me to do? And then as much as I can hear and am attuned to what he says, follow that as well as the things that I learned about my program, because I know God doesn't want me to pretend I don't have a brain, but he wants me to use it in conjunction with his will. And since I am far from understanding him and knowing his will, I have to ask. And that's what has worked for me so far. And I keep trying to remind myself of this because the word I slips into my life program, food, everything pretty quickly. And so every day I have to get up and start over. And that in itself is a blessing, but it's also the curse. I have to do this or I will lose the gift that I've received. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Elaine T. And with that, now we have opened up to the audience for those that want to comment on paragraph 3, page 40, that single paragraph today. If you'd give me the first name and the first initial of your last name, please.
Roz G.
Hi, Roz.
Wendy B.
Hi, Wendy.
Lisa G.
Lisa G, hi.
Des M.
Eileen.
Hi, Des.
Hi.
Eileen M. That's who I heard too. Hi. Okay, great. Okay, let's go with that 5 then. We can do that. We have Roz G, Wendy B. Marilyn, is that what you said? Marilyn T?
Yes, please. I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, no problem. Roz G, Wendy B, Lisa G, Des M, Eileen M, and Marilyn T. So everyone except for Roz G, please press *1 on your phone keypad to mute. Hi, Roz. You're up.
Hi, Melanie. Let me get off speaker.
Hi.
Good morning. My name's Roz G, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm from California, Los Angeles. I like to compare this this to my chronic relapse. You know, I admit that I'm a chronic relapser. I didn't want to admit that, but I am. And it's really freeing to be able to do that. And what I do is after I'm abstinent for a while, I start to feel good. And when I go to the doctor and I have an infection that where the prescription is penicillin or amoxicillin or something like that, an antibiotic, the doctor says, take all of the medication. And what I do is I take it for a day or two, and I feel really good. I stop taking the medication. I don't follow the doctor's prescriptions orders. And the bacterial infection hits me worse. And so when I'm absent for a while, I feel good. And if I'm not in fit spiritual condition and I'm not following the great doctor, the great reality, the Heavenly Father, the new employer, all of those descriptions of higher power in the big book, when I'm not following those orders, I stop taking the medication. Something in my mind says to me, you're really not that bad. You haven't gotten to 200 pounds. So you are really overthinking this. You're overcomplicating your life. I mean, come on. Can you really go the rest of your life without sugar-free Jell-O or without Diet Coke? really, Roz, come on, you're going to go to Disneyland. Look at all that stuff over there. Are you really going to go there and not have that? And I fall for it. And later on, down the road, a few weeks later, I'm back, a lethargic and passed out on the couch after having binged. And that means that that's just that everything's going okay for a while. But if I'm not listening to God, if I'm not doing the actions that I'm supposed to be doing every day, you know, getting praying, getting on these meetings, getting help, you know, asking for help, making my 10 steps calls, I'm going to go right back and I'm going to be lethargic on the couch again. And that's just the way it is, you know, and I admit it. But today I'm abstinent and I feel really good. And I with that, I pass. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Roz G. And next is Wendy B. And Lisa G. will follow Wendy. Hi, Wendy.
This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And that says, I had no pressing problems or worries. My business came off well. It was the end of a perfect day. And it just reminds me of the different tactics my disease takes, you know, the inroads I have in my mind for the subtle insanity to enter. And for me, it's the, you know, I deserve to relax. Look at how hard I've worked. You know, I deserve this ease and comfort, you know, the escape of sitting on the couch and watching TV, you know, and, you know, the escape is attracting me. It's drawing me. It's turning my eye away from the trudge of doing this work every day. You know, and it's about wanting to let down my guard, you know, and rest on my laurels. You know, and I just have to shake off that passivity and renew my intentions. You know, I can't let go of my connection to God. I renew my commitment to do His will, not my will. You know, and I have to remember that it's not like I'm a normal person. You know, they can have distractions. They can, you know, turn to their food for comfort and stuff, but I can't. You know, I have to keep in this work. I have to keep hold of my connection to God and keep trudging. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thanks so much. And now we're looking at Lisa G. coming up next with Des M. to follow.
Hi, this is Lisa G., compulsive overeater in Texas. I hope what I say will make some sense. I've got all these thoughts sort of bouncing around in my head, but I'm really glad the reader went back to the end of the last paragraph about when he says, I felt I had every right to be self-confident. I was in another started about 11 years ago and lost 90 pounds and felt really successful and felt really great and participated in the program a lot, but we didn't work the steps. So then 9 years later, I started getting weight back, which I've talked about before. And when that happened, the success that I felt went out the window. And, you know, this all starts back as a kid or as a teenager or whatever. Whatever problems we have, whatever tragedies happen, whatever anything happens that we're out of control of fixing, you know, I had my escape was first drugs in my life, and then when I quit the drugs, the food took over. So when I was thin, I thought I had it licked. Everything felt great. You know, I went about my business, and for a time, all was well. I had no trouble refusing sugar and flour. And I felt really like I was better than you. And then when the weight started coming back on, I didn't feel better than you anymore. And I thought, well, what the hell? You know, I'm eating this weighed and measured meals. I'm not eating flour and sugar, and I'm still gaining weight. What's the point? So I kind of feel like, you know, whether I'm feeling good, whether I'm feeling bad, food is always the answer unless I have a different answer. So I'm learning now, envision that there is another answer, and it's called the 12 steps. And it is, I mean, it's so easy to go into the kitchen and get that thing that makes me feel better in 2 seconds. But it is a lot of work to get to the point where I'm feeling like I'm doing the right thing, like I'm, you know, that business is going about just fine and well. And it's not the work that I mind so much, it's the feelings that I mind. So I'm just really, really grateful because the food doesn't work. It works like for 2 seconds till I finish taking that last bite and then I hate myself, you know? So that's pretty much all I have to say, and I'm really grateful that I got to share. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Lisa G. Des M., you're up to share for your 3 minutes, and then Eileen M. will come in after you.
Hi, good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. This is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Just really grateful to be able to identify into my fellows and a solution. And what's popping out for me today is, and began to wonder if I had not been making too hard work of a simple matter. And this is like reminding me of in the past when I had like dabbled in working the steps, kind of. It wasn't rigorous. It wasn't holding on to my higher power every day. It was like a self-centered version of working the steps before I came to Vision, really. And it reminds me of resting on my laurels because I would, you know, like be working a step and then get some relief. Maybe there was a perfect day. Things were going my way, I felt. My opinion of my life was a good one. And then I wouldn't be living in 10, 11, and 12 because I didn't make it that far, you know. And I didn't go back to the food, but my mental obsession was there and I wasn't living with freedom. I didn't have a connection with my higher power. I thought that I had to run the show. Like I didn't. We all have this gift, like this gift of surrender that never seems like the right idea. Not never, but with my ego in the arena, you know, it's always like, oh yeah, I got to do 10, 11, and 12. I get to do 10, 11, and 12. I got to connect to my higher power every single day. And that's what's different for me today is that, you know, since January, I've been able to connect with my higher power every single day. You know, 11th step in the morning and night. And it's just really beautiful. And I get to check in when I'm hearing more ego than God. And I get to go to my fellows. I get to 10th step. Like I have all these solutions today. And I'm just so grateful for it. And, you know, just I can so identify into neither did I have any pressing problems or worries. It's just, you know, when my life, there's like a veil that everything seems okay. It's my disease. It's like, oh, I accept my disease. My disease is going to tell me that I don't need to be close to God, that I don't need to work these things because I have to keep clearing that. You know, we do the steps to clear a path to our higher power, and then we get to do them every day to keep that path clear. And I'm just so grateful. And Melanie, you actually were the newcomer greeter when I first started coming to Vision. So I just want to really thank you for taking my name and number, and this program is saving my life and these steps in the big book. So thanks for letting me share and have a great day.
Thanks so much, Des M. Eileen M., you're next. And then Marilyn T. But, you know, after Marilyn, we're going to open it up again, so get prepared. We're on page 40 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're unpacking paragraph 3. In this frame of mind, it ends with not a cloud on the horizon. So get ready. In about 6 minutes, we'll open up the lines again. Hi, Eileen. Thanks. Your turn.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Eileen M., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And I really identify with this paragraph because before I found this wonderful Vision line, I thought that life events and conditions drove me to overeat. And that's why I was overeating, because of what was going on in my life. And I had, you know, I can understand I had no trouble being abstinent when life was going the way I wanted and when people were doing the things that I wanted. You know, life was going great. I thought, well, maybe I don't need to work so hard at this. And, you know, maybe I don't need a higher power. Maybe I got this, you know, and maybe I could rest on my laurels. But that never worked. I always went back to the food without having a higher power in my life and without having this, you know, this new way of life that I've learned. I'm so grateful to God that I found this Vision line. It just saved my life. I mean, I learned, you know, a set of skills that I can go to when life doesn't go my way. and I can keep my abstinence. And I'm just so grateful for it. And I just want to say thank you. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Eileen M. Marilyn T., you're up. And that'll be just before we open it up again. Marilyn T., star one, please.
Hi, this is Marilyn T., a grateful compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for taking me at the last minute. I apologize for interrupting you. What I've gotten out of this whole experience, which I recently had a relapse, is that, you know, this isn't a you got it thing. If you don't really live in 10, 11, and 12, the whole thing after you finish your steps, you don't get to keep this. I mean, that's just the moral to the story. It's just the way it is. And, you know, if that serves to save somebody else the experience, then I am wholeheartedly willing to go down that road. Believe me, I did not do it intentionally, and I'm glad I'm back. You know, there's no excuse, and you pick it up and you get right back on the horse and you don't mess around. I mean, that's just the way that is. But I would give all of my days to have one good day for all of the bad that I've had in the food. So that's just my story, and I'm so glad to be here on this line and back in the being the student again. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Marilyn T. Okay, so now you've heard it. The lines are open for additional people to comment on paragraph 3, page 40 of the big book. If you give me your first
Anna
name,
W.
First initial, your last name. Hi, Stacey. Anna.
Donna.
Hang on just a second. Stacy. Is it Stacy B? Is that what I heard?
Richard.
Yes.
W.
B. Curious.
Okay. Okay, hang on just a second. I want to make sure I get this in order. Anna B. Stacy B. And I heard
Beverly R.
A gentleman's name, if I can get that, please. Who was that gentleman?
And
that
Beatrice
I heard?
O.
I heard you too, Beatrice. I was going to grab you just
Thank
next.
You.
Whoever the
Beverly
gentleman was,
R.
Please speak up again. Hang on just one second. If all y'all could just lay silent until I get the man back here.
Richard W.
Richard W. That's who it was. Okay, thanks so much. And I got you, Beverly.
Yeah,
okay, we
you,
can
Beverly,
resume again.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Beth B.
Mary Beth. Okay, hang on. I think that might be all I can take. Let's see. Anna B., Stacy B., Richard, Beatrice, Beverly, and Mary Beth. My apologies for getting that a little bit wonky there. But I believe that's all I can take and probably more than I can take. So let's go with Anna B., and then Stacy will follow.
Hi, this is Donna W., and so grateful to be checking in
don't
live
Donna,
today.
Don't have Donna W. on my list. I do have Anna B., though.
I think that it was a mistake. That was me.
Well, hang on. I think you're going to hear Anna in just a second. Hang on. Anna, are you ready? Press star one, please, and unmute your phone. She's not going to speak to me.
No, I think that was me.
Want to take her place then, Donna?
No, I think that was me. I said Donna and you heard Anna. Shall I share?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay, great. Hi, this is Donna W. checking in from Palo Alto, California. Grateful to be abstinent and recovered for today. And, you know, I can relate to Fred because when I grew up in my family, we ate, you know, for everything. Celebration, we had food, you know, good times, food, bad times, food, anything that happened was happening. So that's kind of a strong emotion. Then it was, let's eat. And then also there's an element of when things are going good in my life. Then I get cocky. It's like, oh, well, things are going well. And if things are going well, then I assume that I did it. I never think, oh, thanks, God. I think, oh, great, I figured it all out. So things are going well, then it's a great reason to eat. And it's a great reason to take my will back. And then I forget that I have a higher power and I start choosing the food. So that's part of my disease. I have to be really careful to stay humble and to stay reliant on God. because when things go well, then I get cocky and I take my self-reliance back. And it looks like, you know, even though Fred may have not have worked any of the steps, he's very self-reliant. We see that in the previous paragraph. So, you know, as others have shared, I need to work my program every day, no matter what. Things are great, then it's a reason to work my program harder. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate that. Let's see, where am I at here? Let's go with Stacy B. You're next, and then Richard will come in after you.
Yes, I really enjoy this part where they're talking about how your life just kind of goes on. And
is this Stacy
that
B?
Mental? Yeah, this is Stacy B.
Okay,
sorry.
Super duper. Yes. Okay, thanks so much.
Mm-hmm, thanks. Stacy B, yes. Uh-huh. And that sometimes we forget we have this disease. I mean, honestly, if we're abstinent and doing our, you know, whatever food plan we're on, and or even working our steps, sometimes we forget we have this disease because we're feeling so good, and then it's like we don't realize we're feeling good because we're working the program, and then all of a sudden we start to take we don't even notice it, but we don't work as hard with it. We start to slide a little bit because we forget. It's that blind spot. So I really appreciated Fred's story here, because it's like you kind of forget, and then the blind spot comes in, and then before you know it, you have a relapse. And and with that, this, you know, we could have the information, we could have all these, you know, warnings about it, but and to experience it several times, it seems like you can't get that in one time. Most people relapse quite a bit before they finally understand, okay, this is what I need to do in order not to relapse again. I think it's just par for the course. I know it's with alcoholism, but I think it's more so with us compulsive overeaters. And then when we do give it to God, and we talk to God about our disease every day and thank Him for helping us, that's when I think it's a little, or become a little bit safer, because we're connecting with Source. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Stacy B. Appreciate that. Richard, you're up next, and then Beatrice will follow you. Star one.
Hi. Okay, thank you, Melanie, and thanks for everyone for being here, and thank you for the shares. I found that line, I had no trouble in refusing drinks and began to wonder if I had not been making too hard work of a simple matter. My sickness does that to me as well. It's easy for me to think about the sickness as a thing, as a department that I need to take care of, as a problem I need to solve. Because I don't always feel sick. I don't always feel the effect of my illness. In fact, I feel quite solid, especially in the mornings. and then the sickness tells me that this is a problem to be solved. This is something I can take a handle of. I can manage. I can, you know. And I forget that I'm sick. It's not a thing. It's not a department. I, the person in the middle, I'm sick. And my sickness goes right back to my youth. And I know that for certain. And I won't talk through the different incidents. But it's not that I have a part of me that's sick. I fundamentally am sick. And I think that's what he was missing when he was thinking, well, I'm just on this particular matter. Maybe I'm making it overcomplicated. And I can do that too. That's really all I want to share, that it's important for me every day to wake up and say, Rich, hello, you sick person. Today, all day, you'll be sick. You don't have to take a compulsive bite, but you will be sick all day and the rest of your life. And I need to keep reminding myself of that. Thank you for the chance to share, and I pass.
Thank you, Richard W. Beatrice O., you're next, please, for your three, and then Beverly will come in after you.
Good morning. This is Beatrice from Northern California, recovered food addict. I wanted to share on this line that's really important. It says, I had trouble here we go. I had no trouble refusing drinks and began to wonder if I had not been making too hard of a simple matter. So that wonder is the disease. That wonder is disease, enemy. I use those words interchangeably for myself. I was in a food addiction class one time, and one of the people that was sharing, she said, this disease is like the snake in the Garden of Eden. It never goes away, but it twists the words. And the snake supposedly said, you know, did God really say you can't have that? And I think that's an example of how cunning and baffling this disease can be, that it'll make you wonder about the truth, that you're, am I really a food addict? And the other thing, I had a revelation a few days ago about letting go of the life I wanted. And the times that I have been the closest to my higher power is when my life was in a crisis mode. And one of the reasons I've always had this thing, and I can't explain it, but maybe others have felt it. I finally realized that after all my heartaches of life, and I'm grateful to God, I realized that when this person was speaking that I survived a lot and I'm grateful, but it left me with a broken heart. And even though I surrendered my life to God, I still, behind my surrender was a broken heart. And I guess that's what I want to share about. I could be blind to the blessings of God, my higher power, and I have been when he's been in my face. He's standing, and with that, I'll pass. It's when God is, even when God has been standing in front of my face, I didn't see him. Sometimes. Thank you.
With thanks, that, I'll Beatrice. Pass. So. Oh, thank you, Beatrice. So, Beverly R., you're next, and then Mary Beth will follow you. And I think we'll have time probably for another follow-up.
Hello, can I be heard?
You sure can.
Hello, my name is Beverly R. from Gaithersburg, Maryland. And, oh, wow, that curious, peculiar mental twist that we all have. And with me, it comes as anger, defiance, and rebellion. I say, I don't care. I am going to have it anyway. And who is my food sponsor to tell me that I can't have this? And is there anything in the world that I can safely have? It's just not fair. And I cry like a two-year-old saying, I can do it myself. I don't need help. I can do it myself. And then I'm picking up, and it's off to the races again. And I just wanted to say to the newcomer, the message of the big book is, listen, man, there is hope, and keep coming back so that you'll find a life beyond your wildest dreams. My number is, It's Beverly R. from Gaithersburg, Maryland. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Beverly R. And we are on page 40 of the big book.
taking apart paragraph 3 today to see what the directions are for our recovery. It starts with in this frame of mind and ends with not a cloud on the horizon. Mary Beth B. is going to share on that, and then I'll be able to open it up to one or two other fellows. So it's your 3 minutes, Mary Beth. Good morning.
Hi there. Thank you. It's Mary Beth. I'm not recovered. I'm working on the steps. And I'm guessing I'm missing out on the format of this meeting. And I really need to listen more than comment on anything, although God knows I have tons of opinions and lots of experience of this paragraph specifically saying I had no trouble refusing drinks. I began to wonder if I had not been making too hard of a simple matter. I have a note there in my big book that says begins to get drunk here in his mind. So I don't have that power within me to, although God knows I've tried to decipher all of my thoughts and all of my perceptions all of the time. I really need to have my survivor thoughts, which one of the many are, keep it simple, sweetheart. Follow the directions, find out what works one day at a time. Because this is an insidious, powerful disease that always wants to tell me I can do it alone. I have a funner thought than anyone else's. You know, I just wanted to ask this too. I'm guessing that possibly the 8 to 9 a.m. meeting is the one where you get to ask questions, and I apologize for kind of stepping out of the format of this meeting. If you could answer that, that's cool. If not, I will just make phone calls and find out where that can be answered or further questions can be asked. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Mary Beth. And yeah, you're right. That time is offered at the second unrecorded hour of the earlier meeting. So it would be from 8 to 9 a.m. Eastern time for questions about the program of recovery. This one doesn't have that opportunity with it. So unfortunately, yes, please check out our website at www.avisionforyou.info for 5,200 names for people that are eager to answer that question. And certainly you can call any number of us that you hear on this line here today as well. So I'd like to open it up for the last two folks. I heard something R.
Dion R.
Lucy L.
Dion R. And something L.
Nancy L.
Nancy L. And I heard you, Sherry KB, but I don't know that we'll have time. I just heard those other ones first this particular time. So, Dion R. and then Nancy L. My apologies to the other folks. We'll get you tomorrow if you get to come. Hi, Dion. It's your turn.
Okay. Hello. Hi. This is Dion R. From Ohio. And just been very moved in listening to the sheriff today to speak and just being reminded and said, in this frame of mind, when I feel like I know it all, I got it all, thanks for the information. My education will take me through any of those things. It seems like I'll be right back in my disease, whatever it is. I'll be back in my head and everything's off and running. I can feel like I'm a normal. When I be around normal people too long, I just know me. I know my weakness. It's not that they're worse or better than I. You know, it's just that I know what works for me. This program works for me. And the moving part is, and it's what I'm hearing a lot of, is don't rest on your laurels. Don't think you have it. Don't think you've arrived. And I needed to hear that today and every day. You know, it could be a perfect day to me. Everything's going great. I did everything I said I would do. That moment, a thought will just come from nowhere. And I got to remember, you know, the first things first. And it's always to check with my higher power in the best way I can. Even those days when I feel like I don't see him, I don't feel him, I just can reach out to another compulsive overeater. Every time I get back reconnected, every time, it works. It really does. I really identify with, he can be right in front of me, and I don't even know it because I can't feel him. But thanks to this program, you guys gave me a way out, and I'm just grateful to be of service, and I don't ever want to rest on my laurels, like they say, become brown. I'll stay green. I want to be like an old brown branch. Anywho, I will pass with that. Thanks for allowing me to share. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dion R. Next up is Nancy L. Please, your 3 minutes.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Nancy L. in Arizona, gratefully recovered for this day. In this frame of mind, I went about my business, and for a time, all was well. And I underlined the frame of mind a long time ago because that really popped out to me that I have a frame of mind that is broken, and there's not much I can do about it except to accept it and then find the solution for this broken mind, especially when it came to my compulsive overeating. Self-confidence, exercising my willpower, keeping on guard, it didn't work. My frame of mind is broken, and it may work for a little while, but then it always flips over to, that's the best idea I've had all day. I think I will have a little dessert, or I will have a little extra of my, quote, abstinent food, unquote. So I'm just very, very grateful today that no matter what, you know, if I'm feeling fine, not a cloud on the horizon, I have a broken mind. And the only way I have found to live a peaceful, contented life is by giving it to God and letting God do everything he needs to do to get me through a day without picking up. And I am very, very grateful. With that, I will pass.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy L. Hey, Sherry KB, are you still there? It looks like you might have two. You want them?
Well, thanks, Melanie. I'll go ahead and take it. Thanks for your service.
Okay.
Sherry KB in Northern California, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And welcome everybody on the line, and thank you, Team Tuesday. You know, I'm just going to jump into, like everybody shared on certain things, I'm going to talk about the particular dry spell. Because what it makes me think of is that, you know, if I'm not in this book and working the steps and I'm not abstinent happily and contently, then I am in a dry spell, which means that I am abstinent without a higher power and without the steps. And so to me, you know, I do love this line. It was the end of a perfect day, not a cloud on the horizon. Because, you know, my disease is just lying in wait. That's all it's doing. It has nothing else better to do than just to wait to see, you know, try to get me any way it can. And I really believe that. And I know that I can have a great day, and my disease will say, hey, you know, a little something isn't going to hurt you. You deserve it, Sherry. You know, you've worked really hard. You've been absent a long time. Look how well you're doing. You can handle this now. You've got this. That's what my disease will tell me. So when I hear people say, I've got this, you know, I can figure this out, I tell people, you're scaring me, you know, you're really scaring me because I don't have this figured out, because if I did, I do have that mental twist and it never goes away. That mental twist and the mental blank spot never goes away. It's always going to be there with me. It's just that when I believe in my higher power and I turn to my higher power instead, that the mental twist lies dormant, but it's always going to be there, and I am going to have a broken frame of mind. And I just love this program, and I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Sherry KB. And that ends the sharing portion of this particular meeting, and we're getting ready then to close out the recorded portion of that, but we won't be done. We're going to continue on with greeting newcomers after that recording has stopped and grabbing some sponsor contact information and then letting you know what's happening here at A Vision for You. So stay tuned. Thank you to everyone that shared today. The sharing was absolutely very touching, and I appreciate the vulnerability there. So let's get started with the closing. We will close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then we'll follow that up with the Serenity Prayer. Eileen M., would you please read, Our Book is Meant to Be Suggestive Only?
This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.